Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And unto Absalom there were born three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. When he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there, and go and set it on fire." So Absalom wants to see his father again. He's back in Jerusalem, but he's on house arrest. Right. So he calls Joab, come talk to me. And Joab won't come. Twice Joab won't come. So he goes and sets fire to Joab's barley field. That'll get his attention.
Let's say, so if you're Absalom's friend, I take it that you better pick up the phone.
Pretty much. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? You know how much that's going to cost me? I don't even have that field insured." And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur?" You know, normally, the captain of the army would do everything one of the princes said to do. But this prince is kind of in bad graces with the king, so Absalom figured he didn't have to listen. "It had been good for me to have been there. Still now, therefore, let me see the king's face. If there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." And Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. So David has forgiven his son Absalom for the murder of Amnon, his brother, for the rape of Amnon's sister Tamar. Took a little doing and 5 years, but he has forgiven him with a kiss. Took a little bit of sneaky stuff from Joab to make it all happen. We're in the book of 2 Samuel on WBFF 97.7. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, chapter 15, book of 2 Samuel. "Came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses." Now remember the curse a couple chapters back when David was punished for his affair with Bathsheba. God said, "Strife will come from your own house." So we've already seen this little deal with Absalom murdering Amnon, David's son. And we're going to see some more from Absalom. And as bad as Absalom becomes, David loves this boy. And it doesn't seem to matter. He has a true father's heart for this young man. But, you know, you can be a father, but if you're also the king, you must deal out justice when the laws are broken. David doesn't have that ability to do it with his children. "And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so. And when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, and Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy masters are good and right, but there is no man disputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." So he's putting the word out there that the king's not available to deal with anything and any dispute. But
luckily,
if you guys were to look to me, I would make myself available and handle all of your disputes. "And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him." Now remember, this is a prince, David's son, so they do look to him as royalty. And since Absalom is telling them the king's not available, so he's becoming a more prominent figure in Jerusalem. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He is quietly doing a coup. He plans to take over the kingdom first by winning over the hearts of the inhabitants, and then he'll physically take the throne.
Kind of sounds like what happened in the garden.
Yeah.
Winning them over to ultimately, end goal is to take the throne.
Take their minds first. Yeah. That's the fifth column. It came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron, for thy servant vowed a vow. Now, you got to look at that. And it came to pass after 40 years. That means he didn't stand the gate for 40 years. He was already in his mid-20s, and now he's at 40, okay? So he's been doing this probably for 10, 12 years now. He has seen a lot of people over that time. But thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Hebron had some spiritual connotation, and had he just picked up and took his servants to Hebron, there might have been some conspiracy language being put around the city. But when God told Samuel to go and anoint David king, Samuel says, well, if I go to Shiloh, Saul will know why I'm going there. He says, well, tell him you're going to make a sacrifice. So he's doing the same thing to David here. He says, oh, I have to go make a vow. I made a vow, and I have to go to Hebron because God needs me there. Yeah. Yes. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even to Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So word is getting out that Absalom is going to be king. There came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. We shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So what do you see different about David right there? In the past, mm-hmm. when a situation arose, it said David asked guidance of the Lord. David has fallen away from talking to God hourly and daily like he had been doing. So they said, Absalom is taking over the kingdom, Lord. Sire. And the first thing David said is, run away, run away. Yes. Let's go, run away.
Yep. That's literally the scene that popped in my head.
Yes. Yes. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. The king went forth and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. Run away. You 10 women, stay here and keep the house.
Yeah.
Sure I come back. I want it clean.
And the food at least warm.
Yes. And the king went forth, and all the people after him. Now, this is hundreds of people in the king's company here. And tarried in a place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all of the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. And said the king to Aitia, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou comest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And there's a lot of interesting connotation there if you ever want to study that, because this was a stranger that just came, and he says, No, I'm not going back. You're the king. Wherever you are, I will be. Similar to what Naomi's daughter had said to her. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. They set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. The king said to Zadok, Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus says, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. David has forgotten everything God has promised him. Promised him his line would reign forever. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art thou a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahinoam, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. I'm going to go out there, and when things are safe, you come and tell me, all right? Zadok therefore told Abiathar, carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. They went up weeping as they went. Now David had just left a very lush palace full of everything that he could ever want, and he was partaking in excess. And that's why his spirit man lost control and lost communications with God. Everything, Paul says, everything in moderation. If you feed this body excesses of food and drink and pleasure, the spirit man will go to sleep. God said, I place the spirit in the heart of man. And the spirit's job is to take control of the mind, because the Bible says the mind is contrary to the will of God, and this flesh is an abomination. So the spirit man must get this flesh under subjection and the mind under control. And if you feed this body too much, the spirit man goes to sleep. But David has briefly gone to sleep, and he's suffering for it because he does not have communications with God. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So David's praying to God that his son Absalom gets some bad guidance. It came to pass that when David had come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. David is asking this man to go and be a spy. He'll tell Absalom, you want to serve him, just like you serve me. And you try to put some bad words in his ears to make him fail. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahinoam, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So he has a little spy network set up through the priest. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Chapter 16, 2 Samuel on WBFF 97.7. Into David's predicaments. Jonathan and David on Between the Lines. Glad you could be here with us today. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, and that's Jonathan's son, the one that David had brought to his table to bless him continually his entire life, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. So Mephibosheth is repaying the king now for the kindness that he was shown. And the king said to Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat." So when we look back, and they brought word that Absalom was taking over the kingdom, and David said, "Run away." They ran away. They didn't even get any horses or asses or anything to ride on. Run away! Yeah. Run away!
And Tyler sandals.
So now they at least have some animals to ride on. And wine, that such be a faint in the wilderness, may drink. And the king said, "And where is thy master's son?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth in Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Oh, so Mephibosheth thinks he's going to be king also. He sent this payment to David for kindness, but he's got a little thing in the back of his mind that he could possibly become king. And said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine art all that pertain unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, O Lord, O king." When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. Oh, this guy's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. The son of Gera, who came forth and cursed still as he came. So he's coming just cursing his head off as he's coming toward the king. And he cast stones at David. And all of David's servants, the king, and all of the mighty men that were in the right hand unto his left. So he's just pelting the entire company with rocks and cursing them the whole time. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial, the son of Belial.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of thy house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now, why didn't they just kill him? Because these words are ringing in David's ear. It's the exact same thing that God told him would be cursed upon him because of what happened with Bathsheba. So David realizes, I deserve everything that's happening. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, my king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king says, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? I deserve everything I'm getting. I know that now." And David, how many times, Christian, have you fallen into a bad situation? And if you just think back, you'll know why. You pay for the sins, your sins in this flesh. So many times, bad things have happened to me, and I can recall almost exactly why in most situations. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which cometh forth of my bowels, seeking my life, how much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite of me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him. And in my mind, this has always been such a comical scene. David and his company's kind of walking down in this little valley area. Shimei's just right on the top of the ridge, walking right along with them. cussing and throwing rocks at
them. Yeah, like an old football coach or something.
And them soldiers are with David. Just give me an arrow.
Yeah.
Let me have one shot at him.
Yeah.
And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, the Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom shall I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which was against the law, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. You remember the curse that God dealt out to David?
Mm-hmm.
Your wives will be ravaged by other men. There will be strife from your own home. His son rises up to take the kingdom, and now his son is sleeping with David's wives. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So they put a tent on top of the house. They line the women up at the door, and there's probably a billboard there. Absalom is taking the king's concubines. Probably got a spokesman there with a TV crew. And concubine number three is going in now.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer David's. They belong to Absalom, the new king. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in these days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel doth with David and with Absalom. So, even though it was an evil thing, God ordained it, and he put it in this counselor's tongue to tell Absalom to do this because it was the curse that God had dealt out on David. Good, bad, or indifferent, God is in control of everything in this life. He choreographs everything that goes on. Yes, sure, you have free will to a point. But when God wants you in a certain direction, he will steer you in a certain direction, good, bad, or indifferent. Even with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, Understanding the Bible. Any day in God's Word is a good day, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.